said it's supposed to be, what, 36 Friday morning?
Okay.
Here?
Yeah. I'm going to be, okay, Saturday, supposed to be back up in Hades down in Orlando.
Wait, when you were...
I think they'll do it on the record.
We're going to do it on the record here.
Sounds good. Thank you.
All right, it is 1:05 p.m. on March 12th. I'm Matthew Steckman, calling to order the Ocala Police Officers Retirement System Board of Trustees meeting. Now everybody will introduce themselves.
Mike Summer, Secretary.
Doug Shively, Board Member.
Dane Griffin, Board Member.
Tanya Oliver, Attorney for James Charles.
James Charles.
Lee Diener, Attorney for the Board.
Dale Adams, Plan Administrator.
Ma'am.
Jennifer Little, Court Reporter.
Okay. And if y'all would say who you are, please.
Daniela Charles. Jaylee Zinnemy.
Okay.
You're going to want her to spell her name.
Yes. Can you just spell that for me? First name is C-E-Y-L-A. Last name is E-S-E-N-D-E-M-I-R.
And Alicia.
Yes, and Alicia. Gainer.
Your last name again, Jim?
Little. L-T-G-L-E.
Yes, Joe. All right, first order of business is the initial hearing on disability application from James Charles.
Okay, that's some preliminary remarks I'd like to make. I'd like to review the procedures that will be followed by the board in determining this matter and the substantive plan provisions in your pension ordinance, pursuant to which this claim has been filed, and then the principles of general law that are applicable to your consideration of this matter. Mr. Charles has filed an application for an in-line of duty disability pension pursuant to section 43-118, the disability section of your ordinance, and that is for your consideration today. Procedurally, you are conducting these proceedings under Rule 14 of your claims procedures. This is the initial hearing phase of those rules. It's designed to be an informal discussion type format. Should the burden of proof not be carried by the claimant at this stage, and should you deny the claim at this point, he would have an opportunity under your rules to ask the board for further review in a full formal hearing procedure, at which time he'd have an additional opportunity to prove up his case through live eyeball testimony, if he likes, or whatever he would want to bring before the board, more formal proceeding. Now, as you know, this is the first time you've had an opportunity to meet and review records to this point, which are the records we've received from all the medical providers identified by Mr. Charles, up through and including the independent medical examiner's report. Any questions up to this point?
That's it.
Okay, now, the claim for in-line of duty disability pension, and it needs to be established before the board that he is totally and permanently disabled to the extent that he is unable to render useful and efficient service as a police officer. Now, we have an intervening issue here by virtue of the fact that I'm sure you all noticed it in your personnel records. There is correspondence dated August 7th from 2013 from the city terminating Mr. Charles for medical reasons. And the effective date of that termination was stated to be August 7th, the date of that letter. By virtue of that, by case law in Florida, the board is stopped from not finding that he is totally disabled, since the city did terminate him for medical reasons. The cases refer to totally or stopped on total, not on permanent. However, judges essentially read those together where this issue arises. So by virtue of that termination for medical reasons, the issue of total and permanent disability is really determined by virtue of that termination. However, that does leave you the issue of causation to determine, and determine whether or not the injury was directly caused by performance of his duty as a police officer with the city of Ocala. The burden of proof there is on the claimant to establish that by the greater weight of the evidence, and that is what you will do, is weigh the evidence before you. If you find today there is sufficient evidence to carry the burden of proof, you could award the pension today. If you find that there is not sufficient evidence to carry the burden, you could deny the claim today and provide instructions as to what additional information that you would need in order to assist him in perfecting his claim. Any questions? The three legal principles that are applicable to your consideration of this matter are the ones that should this ever end up in court, and procedurally that would be if you denied today, and then if we have a formal hearing and you denied the formal hearing, the next avenue for review that would be available to Mr. Charles would be to file a petition for certiorari review with the circuit court. If it went to that point, the judge would look at three legal principles to determine whether to affirm your action or to remand it back to you. Number one, your decision needs to be supported by competent and substantial evidence. Number two, you are required to comply with the essential requirements of law. Basically means applying the provisions of your pension ordinance to the evidence before you, as well as applicable law. And third, you're required to provide procedural due process to Mr. Charles, and that means having your rules of writing and following your rules, which of course we've done to this point, we'll continue to do. If there's no questions at this point from anyone, then under your rules, Mr. Charles has an opportunity for 10 minutes to make a presentation to the board.
Very good.
Go ahead.
Thank you. My name is Tanya Oliver, and I'm here on behalf of Mr. Charles. Just briefly to give a summary of what happened. He was hired as a police officer on June 12, 2006 with the city of Ocala. And on May 30th, 2012, he was acting in the course and scope of his duties and responsibilities as a police officer when he responded to a residence that had been foreclosed to ensure that there was no homeless people in the residence. While he was at the residence, he was on the steps, and one of the steps fell, and he went through that step twisting his left knee. He ultimately had to have reconstruction to his ACL as a result of that injury. He is treating under workers' comp with Dr. Cannon, and Dr. Cannon has indicated that he cannot return to work due to his knee injury as a police officer, and I believe that was concurred by Dr. Vega, who was the board's IME. In reference to the scope and duties that he was doing on May 30th, 2012, I would invite the board to ask any questions of Mr. Charles that they have for him.
Could you say again the date of hire and the date of injury for me?
The date of hire is 12-2006.
2006, and what was the date of injury?
May 30th, 2012.
Okay. And the date of termination of the termination letter was May 2013?
No, it was August 7th, 2013.
Okay.
Says you were on light duty all that time, right? Till the termination?
Yes.
That's when you were doing the training stuff. So everything.
That's when I was all first off.
Yeah,
sort of burnout.
Okay.
Happens.
Yeah. Just
get
back.
Okay.
I don't have any questions.
Does anybody have any doubts that it occurred on duty? I don't.
That was actually the second knee injury. The first knee. No, I'm talking about white board for us. That was the set third, because I remember the one with you and Officer Clinker,
yeah,
where the guy hit the side of your knee or whatever.
Mm-hmm. He was
the second one. Yeah, what was the second one?
The other one was breaking up the domestic fight between the father and son, and Lieutenant Taylor was on the scene for that one.
What, and just refresh my memory, I know you were out for a little while with the first one. What was the medical diagnosis on that? Was that what
it was? I think the exterior bucket handle, what they call it, bucket handle tear, and then the next one was an interior bucket handle tear, so toward the outside, toward the inside, and then this last one just did it in.
That was why you were at OPD?
Yes, sir.
And then, if I remember the past record right, you had already had something torn up in that knee from when you were in the military, right?
That was like 20 years prior.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is...
It was Oscar Slaughter. It was a bone fragment that they were made.
And you injured him while you were working the stove, correct?
I think I had a sprain. No, that was nothing serious. It was just a couple days and some ice.
Well, since the letter of termination that stops us from considering whether he's disabled or not disabled,
right.
I think it's pretty, unless there's something else that should be considered by the board, it's pretty simple.
I guess I have a procedural question. Is it to date of injury or to date of separation when the actual payments would start? What's the back?
The date the board determines entitled. So that would be today, it would be effective today.
Okay.
No retroactivity.
Okay. So, with parliamentary procedure-wise, a motion to say he's disabled in accordance with established law, and then a motion...
That you find that he's totally and permanently disabled, then we'll have two motions. One, if you so find that he's totally and permanently disabled to the extent he's unable to render useful and efficient service as a police officer, and considering the termination by the city for medical reasons, that's your first motion. And then if you find in the affirmative on that, the second motion would be that you either find or not find that it was directly caused by performance of his duty with the city of O'Callaghan.
Now, it was the city's decision that he couldn't work as a police officer, not that he couldn't remain a city employee, just that they didn't want him as a police officer. Is that correct? Or am I wording that?
The letter really didn't specify. It just it referred to not being able to perform duty.
The city didn't want him to do any other job. They just said it was a police officer and nothing.
Yeah, it didn't get into that. For entitlement purposes, the standard is if you're unable to be a police officer anymore.
Did they offer you any other positions?
No. I know I did pretty fine when they had evidence openings. I didn't get a call back though.
When they had what?
When they had evidence openings, I didn't get a call back though.
Okay, so first step is for a motion to find James Charles disabled. Okay, I'll try this motion. Lee, please correct me if I don't do it correctly. I move that this board find James Charles disabled
and totally and permanently.
Totally and permanently unable to perform the duties of a police officer.
I'll second that.
And all
in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Motion passed.
Okay. Say the second one again. So I can
the second one is whether or not you find that the disability was directly caused by performance of his duty as a police officer with O'Callaghan.
I'll move that Officer Charles's injury was as a direct result of his employment with the Ocala Police Department and services as a police officer.
I'll second that as well.
Mm-hmm. All in favor?
Second. Aye.
It does.
Opposed?
Motion passed.
Okay. Now, Tanya, I believe a workers' comp claim was pending. Is that correct?
There is a workers' compensation pending, yes.
Okay.
There's a settlement.
Pardon?
There's no settlement at this time.
Okay. But you'll need to notify the board when there is or what it is so they can determine whether or not there will be any set off. If the plan does have a workers' comp set off provision.
It does have an indemnity workers' comp set off, correct?
Yes. So if you just have to keep us posted on that. Dale can acquire it from time to time. Because for the indemnity portion of a comp award, there would be, there may be a set off on the plan provision. That's first thing. Second thing is, Mr. Charles, since this is an inline of duty disability pension, I would advise you to seek tax advice from a personal tax advisor as to the taxability of your benefit. Either our board can give you tax advice, but I would recommend that you seek that advice. You may find that some of your or all of your benefit may be income tax free. That'll be for you and your advisor to determine.
Mm-hmm.
And that's That's it. I'll prepare an order and send it for chairman's signature. And as we said, the effective date of the pension will be today.
Sounds good.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Take care, buddy.
Hold on.
Yeah, we're not gonna see it now. Give me a follow up. Pretty sure.
Something's been in this crowd.
Business phone, man.
Yes.
It's a nice one.
Time to set yourself different day.
Are you guys finally fully staffed?
No.
No. Seeing that story, you got two or three other guys.
Crazy on some front.
Yeah.
That Dr. Dixon was probably like seeing more of the instructors putting in. We just don't have any guys.
To quit blocking people that they don't like because I've been. I know who it was. I know who it was.
I don't know why. Tom, but he's told me to start advocating.
Everybody ready? Back to the agenda.
Thank you.
This time we'll ask for input or comment. As there's no public, we're going to assume that that's enough. All right, Lee, it's your turn, sir.
Okay, just a quick legislative update. As you know, session began last week, goes through April, and I believe we're going to see more bills filed for consideration this session, and I'll keep you posted on that. But right now, what we've got pending to potentially to affect us are the bills we mentioned before. It's Bill 246, and the companion House bill is 509, and these are the bills that essentially have been refiled by Senator Jeremy Ring out of Margate, who sponsored Senate Bill 458 last year. That passed the Senate, didn't get to the House floor before adjournment, and that's the bill that provides that if a plan does not have a funded ratio of 80%, then it mandates that a certain portion of state monies has to go just for the purpose of increasing the funded ratio. There's significant opposition to that, primarily on the grounds that ought to be determined locally what's going to be done with that state money. As of last week, there were negotiations going on between the sponsors of the bill and the unions and the League of Cities on that. So it's in appropriations in the Senate right now. We may see committee substitutes, changes along the way, and again, just keep you posted. The other bill I'd like to see is a bill repealing Senate Bill 534, which you may recall we talked about last year, and unfortunately it passed, but I think it required to be done. From the time it passed last year, there was discussion about a judicial challenge to it on constitutional grounds. The constitutional provision providing that if a bill passes, that could be an impediment to the city's ability to raise funds, then it needs to pass by 2/3 majority, and this one did not. And there is still, as of last week, discussions, and it's still pending. There still could be a challenge. I think folks are waiting to see if anything happens legislatively, and we may see a bill introduced to repeal that. It doesn't become effective in terms of having to incur actuarial expenses and calculations till October 1st of this year, so there's time. And the irony of this bill, and it applies to every defined benefit plan of the state, and the irony is the proponents of this bill want the information that's required so they can argue against the continued existence of defined benefit plans. And the irony is we're having to pay for it.
Right.
You know, to provide. And the information, every actuary will tell you, it's not, has no benefit to our plan whatsoever. It's not even relevant for the purposes they want to use it for. They just want information that they can go to the press, the public, and make public arguments against these plans. So hopefully we'll see that go away.
I keep hearing rumors that the city is contemplating doing away or not even
trying to receive state funds and not meet the statutory minimums, what could the outcome of that be if they elected not to do that? What can they do to our pension plan?
You know, the best protection we have had is a police plan, which of course general plans don't have, is the state money and the eligibility to receive the state money. If they determine they don't care about the state money, then it's pretty wide open what they can, what they can do. Unfortunately, that's part of what's being promoted by some of the folks who are talking to the cities on these issues. Fortunately, very few have made significant changes or changes in the case of police plans that will cost the state money.
Well, there's been a big uproar here over the last couple of weeks with the firefighters and all the articles about the firefighters leaving. If the city does do that, I would expect they will see the same thing with police officers.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We brought that up in our meeting with...
That was on the county, though, the article.
Right? The article, yes. But, I mean, if they did, basically, if... what I've heard the city wants to do to the police officer's pension and where they want it to be and everything, it would not be in anybody's interest that has less than, and depending on their age, 10 years, it would not be in their interest to stay there.
Yeah. I mean, it's certainly an icon, which is your point, Mike. I think you're absolutely right. It's not going to attract or retain good people.
And we, I met with Immortal Benjamin. Dale and I met with the other heads of the board from the city. And
Randy and Arnie.
Randy and Arnie. I remember their names. I couldn't remember them.
And Diane.
Diane. We met with Diane over some issues. And I brought that to her attention. I don't know that I know what she's thinking.
And she didn't necessarily agree with us.
Right, and I don't necessarily trust anything she does say.
She seemed extremely surprised at what we said.
Right. So,
I mean, because what people don't realize is and it hasn't been publicized, and I don't understand why, but the sheriff's office with the no raises and everything has been losing people right and left to Tampa, Pinellas, Hillsboro, Sarasota. In fact, there was like eight guys got a van, rented a van to go down there for the process together. And these are all 2-3 year deputies. And, I mean, unfortunately, and Dale can attest to this, when I started at the Ocala Police Department in 1994, we ran 30-something police officers through from 94 to 96 to get 12 that stayed. It was just a huge training ground. People got their time in and went to sheriff's office, whoever, because they were all getting guaranteed 6% raises and had better pension plans and everything. So
I know a newspaper article has been written. I don't think it's been published yet from the union perspective.
Oh, you mean Mr. Carter's?
Yeah.
A few of the cities that have made some of these changes are already looking back and regretting it.
Oh, yeah.
For those reasons, as well as even they're finding it's costing more than before.
Well,
to do what some of
them. Isn't the city's fix of the general plan now costing them more than they thought it was?
No, not more than what they thought.
But more than what it cost them before they made the change.
True.
So,
and it will cost it more.
So.
Okay. But there more is supposed to be for a shorter work period of a time, right?
Part of what they're saying is, well, it's going to cost you more.
It's going to cost you more in the near, right, but ultimately less, because now we have no new people going into the unit.
I have a question before moving on.
Are you finished, Lee, before we move?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Go ahead.
What's going on now that we don't have a half timer? I understand.
I'm trying to get one.
I can try and give you a little bit of a background on that. We are trying to. Sadie's supposed to be helping me through the end of the month. There's a couple issues with that I'm working out with Diane
If it winds up being that nobody's helping me for this month, the boards will not be charged if ever we get the administrative contract worked out. I do have a question about that, Lee. Since the board hasn't signed a new contract for October, it was supposed to start October 1, 2013, is the old contract still in effect until the new one is worked out?
I believe I'd have to look to be sure,
okay.
Alicia, but I believe the old provided that it was in effect until terminated.
Okay.
On notice.
But it has an automatic renewal in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also.
Yeah. Okay. I needed to get that clarified so that if, you know, we don't get one worked out and I do wind up billing the boards for my time, because there's been no billing since last summer, you know, that if we're not getting the halftime, that you not get to get charged for that. And the finance director is aware of that, so.
I didn't hear about her.
Diane's also lent me her person.
Oh, she left?
So.
Oh.
They're trying to get me, you know, whenever I need help or need somebody to look at something, they're trying to provide that to me right now.
So how are you keeping up with
yes.
the amount of hours? Is that how that's working?
I am. Last Wednesday, the part-time position went to cabinet to get, you know, to be, you gotta go to cabinet, whatever positions can be filled. They approved that, so we're moving forward with that. It'll just take a couple weeks to, you know, get it out, get it on the website so that people can apply, and then we'll be doing interviews. I need to get with the boards as to who wants to do the interviews. I know Diane will be part of it, but didn't know if the chairman wanted to, or leave that to me again, or what be the case.
Were the board chairman made aware of that process? Because that's not what was discussed 2 weeks ago in the meeting with Diane.
I believe Sadie at the last meeting, Diane said that was Sadie's choice to go to just budget.
But I was meaning what they submitted to the cabinet about hiring a deputy at halftime.
No.
At our last meeting, we weren't told anything about Sadie other than we were discussing how she
interview process. Right. Before that interview process is to happen, she was supposed to meet with the three chairmen again. But didn't start the process so that we're not left until the next board meeting for a interview about it. Because she did ask me when the next board meeting was, and I told her May, when all the regular boards meet.
Okay. So we don't know how it's being done.
It's all still up in the air, but they're, as far as which way the boards want to go, yes. Right now there's some conflict, I guess, as to who I actually work for. Diane states it's her, and the board states it's them. So they're still working that out, I think.
I thought you could put that.
Yes, it's very close on both sides.
That was addressed at that meeting also, and that really wasn't so much a bone of contention in the meeting.
No. And I always understood it as you're, I'm not trying to put you in the middle of stuff. I don't envy your position
at
all. I know, and
I'm not. And I'm okay with that. I've always been in the middle.
But I was always under the understanding that you worked for the boards, and then stuff like, you know, vacation and stuff like that went through the city just because we weren't here in the day-to-day operation stuff.
I tried to express that it was a joint collaboration. When I was hired for that position, I was a city employee, but Don and the three chairmen at the time interviewed me for the job. They interviewed, the same process happened for the person that I replaced. this last time when Sadie came about, I was the one that was in the interview process with management here. So it's always been kind of a collaboration between the four that I work for, but Diane has a different spin on it, so.
Do they understand, Matt, I guess I'm asking questions because you were in the meeting. Mm-hmm. Do they understand that if all the boards were to go to outside contractors for servicing, the city's still going to have to do 3/4 of what it does on their dime and not on ours?
I don't know that I'd say it's 3/4, but she does understand that. She did let the boards know if that's what they wanted to do. They had every right to do that. And she assured me that if they did do that, they would find somewhere for me.
Well, if the boards contract with a third party, ultimately the city pays that because the actuary does the funding requirement evaluation report. Annual mm-hmm. expenses are added to the requirement dollar for dollar.
That's where she's coming from. Ultimately, the boards, how it works is the boards do pay my salary, but the city is refunding it and having to pay that contribution back.
Okay, so I have a question.
And she has, the boards have a right to hire and fire me, but she also has that right to hire and fire me.
If Dale comes to you and says, I need whatever, a computation done for this, that, the other thing, or something done for like what we're doing today, and you're given a countermanding order
by the city. I've been in that position before, and I asked the guy, Dale has asked me to do this, you've asked me to do this, I'd appreciate it if the two of you would get together and let me know what you've come up with, is how I've approached it.
But the way
it has happened.
The way the agreement is written is the city's supervision is ministerial, basically. Approving vacations and things of that nature, making sure you follow the rules and don't create a hostile work environment for anybody or...
But if this board fires me, I still have a city job.
Yeah.
That's where she's coming from.
Okay. I understand that, but...
I don't like the argument the city is making of... Well, we have to contribute X amount of dollars a year, so we're essentially paying for her anyway. That's a horrible argument for them to have because they have to pay it anyway.
Yes.
If I'm required to pay something, that doesn't necessarily mean I'm the boss. I have to pay an electric bill to the city every month. That doesn't mean I can walk in and sit in the head of electric's office and say, well, my God, I paid my bill this month. I'm the boss. I mean, am I out of line in thinking that?
No, and maybe that's how, when you guys meet, you should express that's where, your thought process is coming from, not hers. I'm here to please all.
Let me give you, Lee, let me pick up on what you said to make sure I understand it. So you charge the board attorney's fees. The actuary records that in his calculations. And that determines, as part of the determination, how much the city contributes to our pension plan.
Yes. And that's true of, any ground, the actuary fees, counts, whatever.
All the consultants.
Because if we spend more money, then the city has to put in more money at the end of the year.
One of the big things when they keep, because they keep wanting to trot out that Leroy Collins Institute thing, it was funding level and fees, and we've done everything we can to hold fees down, because, Lee, and let me, plan administrator / servicing from an outside firm, I'm sure you have plans that use that, and what are they paying, $200,000 a year to have that kind of stuff done?
It's more than reasonable, it's reasonable, for sure. Probably low on the low end. And they're all over the board, Mike, and they do different functions, different administrators have different assignments, so, and size of the plan, so they vary.
Okay, so the point I'd like to make is whenever the city walks in,
say that we pay 25% of Alicia's salary, and they say we pay 37% of this. Isn't it a moot point since it comes out of our pocket and then it comes back into our account and out of the city's pocket?
From the city, ultimately.
Yeah. So, now that I know that, let them do what they want to do.
Yeah, basically, it's form over substance.
It is.
Yeah.
I mean, at the end of the at the end of the contribution period, the pension fund has the same amount of money.
So, but I don't. What are you going to do when things don't get done?
Well,
because they've got
when they don't make contributions.
No, when work doesn't get done by the person who's supposed to be working for the three boards because somebody else is exercising their control.
So we can get in trouble by the state if paperwork doesn't get done on time or reports don't get filed on time.
I mean, because like my counter is if you go with that argument, then she can do whatever they can set her and say, oh, we're short payroll this week, go over and help them with payroll.
Since a couple people have been booted out of the accounting department, we have gotten routine service, so I would rather not address that issue until we actually have an issue.
My worry of it is we're responsible for the plant, you know, for the workings of the plant and everything else, and if we're asking her to do something on our behalf because we're doing what's responsible to the plant in the city, clearly at this point, has different ideas of direction the plan needs to go or anything else. Are their visions going to interfere with her doing what we're telling her to do because it's the responsibility of the plan, because they have a different outlook for the plan or whatever else the case may be. You understand what I mean?
And she's saying that's happening.
You're right. The board has a responsibility to see to it the work is done.
Right. We're looking out for the best interest of the plan at this, at how it's set up now. The city, you know, is definitely looking to changes of the plan, at least looking at whether they're going to that or not. But, you know, if she's getting differing opinions of we need to do this, we need to do that, that kind of, and it hasn't, I haven't had that issue, and I hope she hasn't, but there could come a time where that's a hindrance on things being done properly. For the way they're set up as opposed to things.
Well, that's why I asked the question, has it come up where she's been told to do one thing by the city, where she's needing to do something or up against the deadline for any of the boards, not just this one?
Not up against deadlines or anything like that, but maybe something as simple as, I want this in the minutes and I don't want this in the minutes. Work it out. Let me know which way it goes and I'll do that. It's recorded. It doesn't have to be written word for word.
The minutes need to be an accurate summary of
what
transpired in the meeting.
Sometimes not everything needs to be written for, you know, just to spark controversy.
Have you had an opportunity to look at that proposed administrative agreement? I know we had it at the last meeting last month.
Yeah, well.
And if you were going to look at it after we looked at it, if need be, about half of it was a bunch of legal mumbo jumbo. I've never seen it in another contract we've ever had with any of our
looked at it. There's a number of issues that I would have with legal staff.
The proposed contract that we had last month for the
and if it was dropped for, you know, why did it grow from 10 articles to 30 something? And all of us pretty much agreed that we wanted it to go back to the way it was, and we haven't heard from her since.
We have a lot of issues with that.
We haven't met with her since, so I don't know how that's going to work out, if it's going to go back to the original 10 article thing we had or not.
And I don't know how much work was given to her to do from that meeting, but I can definitely ask for an update or ask when, if she wants me to set up the next meeting or if there's going to be a meeting, or I mean, I can
I know we there wasn't a whole lot. I mean, she was supposed to look at the contract with cutting back the way it was, mm-hmm. and then she was also supposed to find comparisons for your position, because she came back with comparisons that weren't anywhere in line with our city. I mean, Jacksonville and Tampa, and you know, clearly different than our plan.
Okay. Do I have everybody's paperwork?
Yes.
Okay. Just come on to me.
On the other matters, while we're still here, and I'm not trying to keep everybody along when we have to, but on the clinker issue, I've been to Alisa sent him a certified letter, and it was received at the address. I went to the address that the certified letter was sent to. Was unable to make contact with anybody there. Left a note and my business card at the door. Haven't got a phone call back. This has been. This was right after the last meeting that I went. I mean, we're talking well in excess of a month. I got a phone number. I don't know. Recall what the phone number was, but from another officer that they said that used to be his phone number. I tried to call it. It wasn't connected.
Refresh my memory.
We had an officer that
terminated.
Terminated or left or whatever, and was paid out when he was terminated the first time. He was then rehired and was paid out and got paid out.
I remember
almost $8,000 too much. So Alisa sent him a certified letter saying that he owed the board $7,900 or whatever the numbers were, and it was received. So we know that he received it. It was signed for everything else. And then I've since tried to, we talked about it last meeting about setting up a payment plan with him to try and get him to pay it back. We worked it out. It was just over $200 a month for 3 years. $220 or something like that was what I was going to go and talk to him about, and I haven't been able to make contact with him.
I believe he's still in the military. He should be able to be contacted through the military all the time.
I don't know, but
he went to corrections recruit school, so he may be working either at the jail or up at DOC.
Yeah,
but I believe he is still in the reserve, and I would imagine that if you went to the res center, they would be able to put you in touch with him post haste, especially when they knew what it was about.
Well, and that's kind of the next thing. If we're not able to make contact with him, say by, you know, the next board meeting or something along those lines, I don't remember if I was talking to you about it or what, but it been brought up instead of maybe taking him to court about a collections agency or something like that. I mean, is that? Because if we're going to drop, right? I mean, if we're going to drop $3,000 or $4,000 on going to court to get $8,000,
you're going to drop a good bit with the question agency.
If we can drop $2,000,
that's the thing. You don't want to send good money after bad,
right? And that's what
I think. You're right. If you go to, especially if it's military or reserves, I don't think it will reflect well on him.
Right.
He owes us money.
Well, I've been told in the past that if a military person gets behind on their bills, their management tends to strongly encourage payment thereof.
Is he Army Reserve or National Guard?
He was in Special Forces. I think he was at the 20th out of the one down there on 20th Street. Yep, the National Guard one. Because he was in Special Forces when he went back over.
Yeah, I think that would be a good next step.
Now, do we have to file some sort of legal writ or something showing that he owes the money, or what's...
Not to pursue what we're talking about now.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, we're just trying to correct it and be as, you know,
work out an agreeable.
Be as agreeable as we can. I mean, we made the mistake. I don't want to necessarily screw him up forever, but there's only so much that can be done. I'll check into that. Going to the nerve center and.
Okay.
That's all I had. Anybody have anything else?
Did you all file your financial disclosures yet?
I haven't seen the notice.
I haven't got it out the mail yet.
you know, and you may or you may not, as I've mentioned, I think it's becoming more sporadic all the time around the state. So the forms are available now.
Yes, and if you go up there to our supervisor of elections office, they want to argue about it because we'll send you the form when we're ready to receive the forms, and it'll be all typewritten and everything.
Mike, go to Google. Go to Google.
Yep, that's fine, getting the form. They gave me a hard time the last 2 years on filing the form. Because it wasn't in their time. We're not working on those yet, is what I got told.
You must be a bad guy. They never give me a problem.
They'll find out. They don't hold mail on you.
They're all in there.
You can fill them out.
About a week before the deadline.
Because they mail them. They told me last year, we'll mail them to you the end of May. Yeah.
Well, okay. In any event, just don't miss July 1. Give or take.
That's a recommendation. They don't start buying it until September 1st.
September, yeah, what they're supposed to do. If you don't get it, if they don't have it July 1st, they're supposed to send you a letter.
They do.
Then you got a grace period until September 1. And then they're not paid by September 1. That's when the fine starts.
They send you a letter, and then they send you... Different people from the city send you a bunch of emails.
Matt likes to live on the edge.
It sounds like you've had some experience with this, Matt.
And then you get a certified letter.
Yeah. Because every time I go, I hand it to him, I said, what's that last time I'm up?
I'm not putting this
close in July. All
right, well, nobody has anything else. You guys good?
Yeah.
All right, it is 1:51 p.m. This meeting is adjourned.
Thank you guys.
Yeah, thanks very much.
Take care.
Thank you, Dave.
Thank you,
everybody.
Take care.